Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 25th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 10, the fourth paragraph, with ministers in the world's religions, commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shawnee B. for the 12 Steps, Carol H. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Leslie M., Kathy Jo P., and Susan H. The share ID for Sunday, February 24th, is 12,586, 12586. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the share ID is 12,588. That's 12588. Our newcomer greeter for today's meeting is Janice P.M. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Shawnee B. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Shawnee B. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. Okay, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you, Shawnee B. Carol H., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. This is Carol H. from Northern Colorado reading the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professionals, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service this month. I pass.
And thank you, Carol H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions of the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 10, the fourth paragraph, with ministers and the world's religions, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. And Leslie M., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. With ministers and the world's religions, I parted right there. When they talked of a God personal to me, who is love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated, and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. As I said, my name is Leslie M. And this paragraph, although short, has so many concepts in it for me because religion and God of my childhood I saw as very hypocritical, and it's once again, if there's a God, he hasn't done anything for me. That's exactly how I felt. So, when program was speaking to me about God, I immediately thought about, the religion that I was raised in. And I had to, I had to really take a look at that, but I did. I became irritated and my mind snapped shut. And that's why I spent so much time in the food, because the food became my God. I went to that for my ease and comfort. I went to that if I was feeling any feelings, so that I could be in oblivion and I didn't have to feel those feelings. But, when I came down to the bottom of it, what happened is that I finally looked to see what my old ideas and prejudices had been about God and the spiritual life. And really what it came down to was that I felt that I wasn't worthy, that I didn't deserve these gifts, that I didn't even deserve the gift of abstinence. And I'm grateful that through the working the steps and being entirely abstinent while doing that, that I have learned that I am deserving and am worthy, and that there is that idea of God inside of me. I had always looked everywhere else for it and never looked inside myself. So at this point, I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Leslie M. Okay, who else would like to share on this fourth paragraph on page 10?
Susan H.
Leah. Okay, Susan H., and then two people came in after her.
Leah S.
Leah S.
And Julie F.
And Julie F. is in Frank, Julie?
That's correct.
Okay.
Melanie C.
Jojo L.
Melanie C. Jojo L. Going. Okay, we'll stop there. Susan H., Leah S., Julie F., Melanie C., and JoJo L. So go ahead, Susan H.
Good morning. This is Susan H. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. Very grateful to be here. Grateful for the set-aside prayer to kind of direct me to set aside my whole thing that I wrote out. My mind snapped shut. Snapping shut, some of it is okay, and I'll use that. My mind snapped shut because snapping shut on what I heard from others was my selfish way of protecting myself. I was making myself smarter or wiser than, but I felt less than. I was floating above them all by the power of my superior intellect. But desperation made me teachable. My pain and suffering in the food brought me to the realization and my intellect that my intellect had tried to fix me forever. That put me at step one, and I knew I was powerless and my life was unmanageable. I am powerless, and my life is unmanageable. My face-to-face meetings, which I hoped were going to fix me, hadn't fixed me, but I did get a seed that was growing. It was suggested I list what I needed in a higher power, and desperation helped me pry open the snapshot mind and admit that only a higher power could return me to sanity. Then humbly, honestly, abstinently, with the help of a sponsor that I'm also grateful to, I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to him. I gratefully pray that third step prayer every morning. I'm grateful to study Bill's story again and recall how I ate as Bill drank and felt as Bill did. I'm glad to identify and yet again. I don't have to rule anyone or anything out anymore, and the world I live in now is a new world. I'm just very grateful, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan H. Leah S., you're up next, followed by Julie F.
Thank you so much. Thank you, moderator. Good morning to everyone. So me too. My mind snapped shut. Again, such a theory. Why did my mind snap shut? I had expectations. I had put people on pedestals. What I wanted of God is, just as they said, personal to me, who is love, superhuman strength, and most important of all, direction. Because my ego needed to be smashed in order to get that direction, because things and facts sometimes hurt me and I don't understand it. It's only God who understands it. So in actuality, I needed God to direct me to get on around it, or how to go about it, or even, you know, and not resort to the food. Because every time I used to come up against something like expectation or kind of cynicisms of things that I thought right, you know, I need God because I need direction. I need direction for things that I still don't understand, and I do not resort to food. But that's the secret of it. That is the real miracle of this whole thing. And, of course, the fellowship and the turnout. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Leah S. Julie F., you're up next, followed by Melanie C.
Hi, this is Julie F., grateful compulsive overeater in recovery today, one day at a time. And for me, that paragraph, I don't identify with Bill about his faith. His mind snapped shut for one reason. My mind also snapped shut, and I didn't see that, which is not good either. My mind snapped shut because I'm a slow learning know-it-all. And when they talked about the concept of God, I had that. I understood that. I knew that. Well, what I've come to know, and through the set aside prayer, through listening on the line, and you know, an exploration of my own, is my concept of God. I was a believer who didn't believe. My concept of God was so different than it, my understanding is today. And I don't have it. It's an ongoing, continuous adventure for me. And it's not a one and done. It's not, okay, the God thing, okay. No, for me, it is every day more of an exploration, more of an awareness, more of a turning over, more of a surrender. And for that process, I am grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all.
And thank you, Julia. Melanie C., it is your turn, followed by JoJo L.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Wilsonville, Oregon. And I'm going through this and I'm thinking about Melanie. And I can tell you that I had plans. I had big plans, sharp ideas, and I was driven. I'm a rallier and I'm a reformer. And I'm filled with spunk and curiosity. I'm precocious. I know all those things, and they didn't suit me very well when I talked about God. And I was called a long time ago, I feel in my heart, now that I've been in these rooms and I can look back. But I simply didn't know how to rightly relate to that. And I certainly could use a serenity that I hear people talking about when they would go, you know, to church and that sort of thing, and those celestial angels that would come and you would just sing hallelujah. I certainly needed that sort of thing. But what I needed God for was to get me out of scrapes. What I needed God for, because I was taking care of everything else. And I got sicker and sicker in this disease and could see less and less and less, that in fact I really wasn't. But that's what I needed God for. And so with that in mind, I could see then that somewhere along the line, I was really arrested at the skill set of a two-year-old. You know, I had the spunk of a two-year-old, perhaps the defiance and the rebellion. I can do it myself. My grandson says, I do it myself. I can do this myself. And that's the way I approached life for the rest of my life. And then when I needed some sort of help, like a two-year-old might, to keep me out of the street because I'm not seeing well, or to fix the last bungle that I'd gotten myself into, then I would call upon God. Well, you take that over the course of 50-some-odd years, and you pack on 175 pounds on top of a normal body weight, and somebody talks to you about God, and you go in and out of church and things like that, you're not rightly aligned to what the whole idea of accessing this God was, and I wasn't going to be able to get it. I tried to do this God thing. I thought that I had a clear handle on it, but I didn't. And what was blocking me was the fact that I was drunk all the time. And you can't take in something when you're drunk all the time. My mind was twisted. My mind was absolutely twisted. It took entire abstinence. Thank God, thank God, thank God. And then when that was out of the way, the food's out of the way, I don't have anything activating anymore, so my brain is cleared. Then I required a treatment on the twisted thinking to unwrap that tight ball to be able to rightly align to God. And now I have this personal relationship with God that I wish I had another 2 minutes to be able to tell you the glory, the honor, and the miracle of that ever happening to a gal like me. I am so grateful. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. And we're going to have JoJo, but before you go, JoJo, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 10, the fourth paragraph, with ministers in the world's religions. We're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And we'll be taking some names after JoJo. So go ahead, JoJo L.
Tone?
You there? JoJo?
Hi, sorry. This is JoJo L. From Santa Clarita, California. the way I relate to this is, you know, I did not grow up in any sort of religion or practices other than being told I was Jewish. So I remember the first time I came to an OA meeting, I was in my, I'd say, mid to late 20s, and I heard the word God, and I thought to myself, this must have been some sort of cult, I'm leaving, and I never came back. And at the time, I was probably about 100 pounds overweight. And it's amazing how, at the time, my attitude, I just kind of scoffed at the idea of religion. I considered it a weakness, you know, an excuse or some sort of way of managing your problems, because in my family, we were always told to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and muscle through and control our problems or situations. So fast forward to, you know, my 50s, when I finally
your leisure.
Was pummeled
leisure shower.
Enough by, but finally pummeled enough by the food, and this time around was 230 pounds overweight, I was finally ready to give it a go, this whole God thing. And it was very difficult for me at first because I thought that if there was a God, he certainly had it out for me. And a lot of that was because, you know, I had had some difficulties. I had been through breast cancer twice, and amongst a lot of other problems in my family of origin. So the idea that I had to find a higher power frightened me. Thankfully, through this program, through A Vision for You, through my sheer desperation, I was willing to take a closer look and actually to explore different faiths, to not just, you know, choose one because it was of my origin, of my family's, you know, their upbringing, but not anything that I experienced. So I was grateful that I had the experience to finally recognized that my higher power was with me all along, through all those difficulties and all those challenges in my life. It was there the entire time. I just was so disconnected and so full of myself that I couldn't even see it. So I'm beyond grateful for this program, and thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, JoJo L. Okay, who else would like to share on page 10, the fourth paragraph?
MJ?
MJ?
Yes.
Patty T?
Patty T?
Kathy D?
Julie E?
Who came in after Kathy B?
Barbara E?
Barbara E? And then I got Bruce. Julie DB. And Bruce
E.
Bruce E. Okay, well, let's stop there. So I think I have this right. MJ, Patty T, Kathy B, Barbara E, Julie E.B., and Bruce E. So go ahead, MJ.
Hi, my fellow. This is MJ from Arkansas, a recovering over compulsive eater. And listening to the part about the mind snapping shut, you know, that brought me back to about 7 years old when you're raised in a family that is so dysfunctional and you realize that the Easter Bunny no longer exists, Santa Claus no longer exists, God doesn't either, because God was that hope that there was somebody bigger than myself that would provide for me, that would love me and take care of me, and I could trust him. All that went away so early, and survival was all I could.
MJ, we lost you. You still there, MJ? Okay, I'll come back to MJ. Maybe she dropped off the line. Patty T, can you go ahead?
Hi, yes, thank you, Kathy and Kathleen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Patty T. from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. And, you know, I could just abbreviate that first sentence with ministers I parted right there. I grew up in a culture where God may have created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, but only certain people were allowed in the kingdom of heaven. And that meant by the color of their skin or by their religion. Growing up, I too lived in a dysfunctional family where there was no tolerance for imperfection. And the message that I heard in the churches that I frequented was that you must be perfect to acknowledge unhappiness or pain is a sign of weakness or even insanity, and you just have to trudge through. So I rejected everything about higher power and God from a very early age, at least definitely by my teens. I had seen enough contradictions and hypocrisy in the behaviors of the people who profess to believe. So I didn't need that. But over my lifetime, I had to admit that I was like Bill in the previous paragraph. I did believe in a power greater than myself. I knew there was something. My instinct told me that, you know, and it took this disease for me to be willing to unearth that, to be willing to look inside enough and to stop my mind snapping shut in judgment over everything I didn't understand. Because let's face it, most of life I didn't understand because I ate over everything. Whether I felt good, whether I felt bad, it didn't matter. I ate over everything. Whatever I couldn't understand or comprehend or do something about. And today, I can't explain what higher power is or what God is. I just can't. But I do know that I have a higher power working in my life today. And that when I am in a lapse of belief in that area, thank God I have this fellowship and these meetings to come to where I can be reminded that it's okay. God is still there. I'm just turned away. And all I have to do is turn back around and I'll be embraced. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
And perfect timing. Thank you, Patty T. MJ, are you back? Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. If you could take your last 2 minutes there, go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much. So I don't know where you heard, but you know, so when the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and God vanished for me, just surviving was all I needed. Well, all I could do, you know, and the best way I could, eating or drugs or alcohol or marriages, abortions, just whatever I could do. And, you know, it's not that I didn't want God or a God. I just truly didn't believe that a world full of pain and suffering and agony and that does not equate with a God, a loving God. And for somehow my mind just snapped it shut. There can't be a God. And I'd laugh at every denomination and I'd laugh at people because I thought they were weak. And so, you know, that successful person that survives and just does what she has to do in any shape or form, became extremely addictive in all areas and survived until I was about 25 after several marriages and whatnot. I finally collapsed and my brain shut down and I just said, God, if you're there, help me find you. And he did. And God, if you're there, you won't let me kill myself. And he didn't. And he showed up and he has been, you know, slowly trying over the last 30 years to get me close enough to him and removing each addiction and each thing. And it's a beautiful journey. And I'm very pleased to know that there is a God and be trusting in him and knowing that he's going to keep continuing what he's doing in the healing. And I just want to thank you all for being here for me and being my fellows along with me, shoulder to shoulder. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, MJ.
So Kathy B., you're up next, followed by Barbara E.
Hi, it's Kathy D. in Colorado. May I be heard?
Yes.
This is a really powerful paragraph to me. So I did not grow up with a God. My parents were, they were not anti-religion, but my mom had left a very kind of strict cult-like faith when she was 18. So we were just sort of adrift spiritually in my family. I did have one friend who I would go to church with, and I knew there was something there. I knew deep down in my soul that I wanted that, but I had no idea how to get that. And then when I became very ill in the food and in other addictions and got well early in my 30s, I accessed that power, and I did have the experience of the love, superhuman strength and direction that I needed. I've talked about it. I had a 10-year honeymoon in OA, and I did get well. But then, as life crowded in, as life got too big, and my program got too small, I didn't lose God, but I lost the ability to tap into His power. I lost the ability for Him to guide me. I remember being in the food and working the steps like over and over and over and not getting any results. And what my mind was really snapping shut against was the full surrender that I needed to do in order to recover. And it's only been in this past year, since coming to Visions and really getting serious about my program, because let me tell you, my health issues have been getting serious with me from all the years of not being fully surrendered. And now I am so thankful that I am feeling, I'm experiencing that superhuman strength on a daily basis now. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle in my life. I'm even having a more profound experience, I think, of God than I did the first time around. And slowly, He's healing me again, mind, body, spirit. So it's really been quite the journey, and I'm very thankful. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Kathy D. Barbara E., you are up next, followed by Julie E.B.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I am a critical level overeater. Perhaps many of you might say, yes, I am too. I can't control my eating because of my body. I can't quit and stay quit because of my mind. Truly, I had no choice. I had no power. It was not my fault. But how do I stop and stay stopped? It's been virtually over 1,000 pounds over the course of my lifetime. I can't do it alone. I need something more. I need help. But why a God? Why not the meetings I went to, the fellowship, my food sponsor, the phone calls, the writings? Why the steps? Why the soul surgery that was recommended? I was skeptical. I was prejudiced. I was even contemptuous. I was told I had to open the door just a crack to be willing to be willing. And I said, sure, I'm willing. But I wasn't truly willing. For me, it didn't really happen in step 3. I said it did, but I didn't feel it. It actually happened for me when I truly embraced step 7. Now, as a result, when I'm irritated, I say the 7-step prayer and my mind fog clears. And I feel calmer and more able to see the other person's point of view. That's my power that is not me, pointing me to turn away from negativity and to positivity. And when I feel anger, I turn my mind to acceptance. I now say, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. thy will be done. And when I wake in the morning, I say the set-aside prayer. Please help me to set aside everything I think I know about my program, myself, and you, so I may better have a knowledge of this program, myself, and you. And please guide me to keep divorced from selfish, dishonest, self-seeking motives. I wouldn't be thinking this way if I had remained skeptical, prejudiced, and contemptuous. It took what it took, when it took. I had to be beaten down until I was desperate enough to accept. And this is a beautiful program, and the stories that come at the end of the book just inspire me every single day, and you inspire me too. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful Monday. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Julie E.B., it is your turn, followed by Bruce E.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God one day at a time. With ministers in the world's religions, I parted right there. It's funny because even as I was practicing religion and was sharing religion, I was parting ways. There's part of the big book that talks about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and I really believe that our disease, my experiences, my disease, maybe this is true for you too, kind of sneaks in right there when I was a kid, and I would act like everything was fine at home, but it wasn't fine at all. Or right there when I would go to school and try and be successful and be pretty successful, but inside feel like a fake and a fraud. And every time that I would go in my job and tell people about a God who was loving and grace and who I had experienced for the first time when I was 6 years old, my mom said she wanted to kill herself. And I prayed in a language I didn't understand. There was mystery and there was certainty, and that helped me to survive. But there was also chaos and pain and struggle. And so the God personal to me was drowned out by what I call my lower power. The love, superhuman strength, and direction was drowned out by shame. I'm never good enough. By hopelessness. Might as well just take another bite. Might as well just spin around in my thoughts a little while. I mean, direction. My brain was like a gerbil wheel. I was the gerbil just going on and on, lurching in different directions. And I thought I could wrest happiness and satisfaction out of life if I just managed well and if I just pleased people. And I provided my own direction. And somewhere along the way, a God personal to me who would give me love no matter if I was in the food or out of the food, who gave me strength no matter how hard my day was, who gave me direction, just the next direction at a time. You know, I don't know if any of you use the maps applications, but you can only pull up one turn at a time. And that's what I need in my life. Otherwise, I turn away from love, superhuman strength, and direction, and go to trying to fuel myself, not with a God personal to me, but with resentment and what happened yesterday, or fears of what happened tomorrow, or shame around who I am or what I've done. So, of course, my mind became irritated and snapped shut against a God who could love me, for I did not know how to love myself until I worked these steps. Thanks for letting me share. Keep coming back. Keep working the steps. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And Bruce E., you're up next, and we'll take a few names after Bruce. So if you'd like to share, be ready for that. So go ahead, Bruce.
Bruce E. in Southwest Florida. And, my mind snapped shut against such a theory. My mind had snapped shut for 38 years of my life, from zero up through 38. I mean, it was shut solid. But I just remember when my mom used to drag me to church, I was like, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. And I felt a little different in there. In coming home, I felt a little different. But then the worries of the world and the, you know, the, all the stuff that went on and everything and striving for life and life and everything, that all closed it off. I mean, it didn't last long, just like Bill in Winchester Cathedral. He felt something different there. And then, yep, then the world, clamors of the world came in and it took it all away. So I spent a lot of years of tremendous pain, suffering, pain, difficulty, trying to do it myself, nothing working out, no success. And finally, at age 38, I did have a spiritual experience. So then I went from atheist, agnostic, all the way over to, I know everything about God. I got the whole corner on all the God thing. I know, you know, don't tell me about it. I know everything. And then the ego came in, you know. I know everything, but I couldn't figure out why I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get the food thing right. You know, the food thing was just such a major deal in my life. And I remember my mom telling me, she suffered with this problem too. She said, well, God will do anything for you, but he just won't help on the food. That's one thing he won't help on, but he'll help on everything else. And I kind of half believed her, but I wasn't sure. Then I got into this program, got into Vision really after many years in OA and not having success, not getting recovered. I got into Vision and my sponsor says, I don't understand God, but I stand under God. And I started learning how to really surrender, work through the steps using the big book. And things started happening. You know, the sunlight of spirit really started coming in. But with ministers and world religions, I parted right there for years and years and years. I thought they were kind of weird, kind of unusual. Anyone that really talked about spiritual things or religion was weird and unusual. And it was my ego telling me that. I don't need God. I got what I got is fine. And what I had wasn't working. And I had to have a lot of difficulty to finally, you know, they say life is a school teacher that carries a stick. And man, I was getting beat by that stick, you know. And finally got into this program. And things are working. Thank God for that. Sure have changed a lot. I'm still working at it, though. And thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Bruce E. Okay, I can take a few more names. Would anyone else like to share on this fourth paragraph on page 10?
Wendy M.
Leslie
Wendy
W.
M.
Leslie W.
Leslie.
Got
Deborah
you, Leslie.
P.
And Deborah P. Okay, let's stop there. And if you want to, I'll take a couple minutes. We can get you all in. So go ahead, Wendy M.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So happy to be on the line with everyone. Thank you for your service. So I want to say that my mind, when my mind shuts down, when it does that because it doesn't, I don't like what's happening. I don't like what you're doing. I'm not liking what I'm feeling. If I'm not getting my way, it shuts down. And the difference today is that now I'm aware that it shuts down. That's the recovery, that I can notice it. I can pause. I can say, oh, you know, you're not liking this feeling. You're an addict and you want to feel good. What can we do about that? You know, and then I breathe in, deep breath. And that's God. And I also want to say that God for me is a verb. It's a decision. And lately, not going to God has been very uncomfortable. But what I'm finding is, you know, that I'm getting something from staying in fear. I'm getting something from wanting to run the show. I'm getting something from not allowing God in. And the difference is, I'm picking up the phone and I'm calling someone, and that's the pause and saying, how do I get out of this hell? Right? First it was the food and the food's down. Thank you, God. And now life is up, you know, and it's that pause. It's what do I do? Well, you let go. Let go of what? Let go of everything. let go of absolutely everything, especially your mind, especially your mind. On a good day, I call you and I say, my mind is full of stuff. It's full of junk. It's telling me things that aren't true. And then you guys tell me about the set-aside prayer. You tell me to set aside what I think I know. And then I get free. But true letting go, true surrender, is complete trust and faith in God. It's completely letting go of all of my tactics, all of my holding on, and letting go and saying, God, I trust you. God, you've got this. And God is an action. God is a verb. It's making that decision. Yes, I will give it to you. I will give you all of it, including the stories in my head about myself, including the fear that I think I need to hold on to as a form of control, as something familiar. But I get something for 8 seconds, and then all I get is ick. And hopefully it's bad enough that God has my attention. And hopefully it's bad enough that I pause and call all of you. Hopefully it's bad enough that I get on my knees during the day and say, I don't know how to do this. And that is a revolutionary sentence. I don't know how, and please help. And with that, I pass with much gratitude. Love you all.
Thank you, Wendy M. And Leslie W., Deborah P., if you could each take 2 minutes, we might be able to fit you both in. So go ahead, Leslie W.
Okay. Thanks so much for your service today. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. I just wanted to share about this irritation that he had. I think for me, the irritation that I had when I came into program coincided with a sense of entitlement. You know, somehow along the way, I just believe that if I did X, Y, and Z, I believe that if I did what I was told by my parents and by the people in my church, that nothing bad would happen to me. Everything would go my way. And that's my 4-year-old in the background. So what I was reading about this morning was in Jim's story about the fact that the thought came to me that if God, on page 238, it says, the thought came to me that if God, as my mother said, was a vengeful God, then he couldn't be a loving God. I wasn't able to comprehend it. I rebelled. So in my head, I somehow couldn't put together that idea of a loving God and a God who would allow bad things to happen to me. But I can tell you that if it weren't for my loving God, I would not have come into the rooms of OA. Because if he had left me alone, yeah, baby, I know. If he had left me alone and not cared, then I would have eventually met my demise with this disease. But he didn't. He brought me those people into my life that pointed me the way to the solution. And he did save me, continues to save me. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie W. And Deborah P., you have about just under 2 minutes, so go ahead.
Thank you. This is Deborah P. from Northern California, compulsive overeater. What a great meeting this morning. Oh, my gosh. That mind slamming shut. Oh, my gosh. I remember when I first came into the 12-step rooms of recovery in another program and hearing about God and just thinking that I was going to be forced to believe in this God of everybody else's. And I didn't want anything to do with it. I wanted to run for the rooms, but what ended up happening was I stayed because I saw the hope and I saw the recovery, and that overpowered my fear of this God that I knew nothing about. And over the years, my God has changed, went from a tree to so many things. And today I have a more traditional God, which loves and cares for me, but is also looks out for me and you know, every day this meeting today has been so powerful. You know, every day I've been asking God to just show me what His will for me is. And then I fall into my crap. And I try to do things Deborah's way. And God just sits there and waits and just kind of sits back and goes, okay, you do it your way. I'll be here for you when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's just, I just love that God just waits for me and is so patient and just carries me along. I went through some crazy stuff in my life. Not crazy, but a really hard time in my life recently. And God just carried me through that, and God continues to carry me through. Despite my best actions, God is just there taking care of me, loving me through this whole process. And I love that every day He's there with me. I may not know it. I may not feel it. I may step away. Thank you. But no matter what, God's got my back. So thank you very much, and I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Deborah P. And thank you, everyone, for all your fabulous shares this morning. And special thanks to Team Monday, Shawnee B., Carol H., Leslie M., Kathy Jo P., and Susan H. And we are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kathy Jo P., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.